Well, welcome to my daily teaching videos. Great to have you here with me. I'm about to jump into a brand new series for this week where I'm going to be teaching, talking, sharing all about how to find God's will for your life. And even more importantly, how to fulfill God's will for your life. So how to find and fulfill God's will for your life. I plan to do about three teachings on this and then open that up and answer some questions as well. So come along with me for this journey. Hey, a few practicals. We actually put the whole week's video out now as one complete video. Again, you'll find that on my YouTube channel. Thank you to all the subscribers from my YouTube channel. We have over 1 million subscribers, so why not join that bunch? I encourage you to subscribe to our email newsletter, completely free. If you want my teaching notes from this series and others, they will be sent out every week as part of that email. And a big thanks to all of the partners in my ministry who enable me to do what I do and travel and preach the gospel to the world. So a big thank you to you. Good. Let's begin today. And really, we just want to introduce this subject today. But I think we should think a lot about God's will for our life. I think one of the strategies of the enemy, of course the enemy wants to pull you away from God's will and getting you doing terrible things and wasting your life or evil things or sinful things. For the purpose of this week, I'm actually going to take that as read, as written, as understood, and I'm not going to spend my time saying don't take cocaine, don't kick cats, don't commit adultery, don't walk with Jesus. I would actually suggest if you're truly born again, you have that desire to walk with Jesus, that desire to please Jesus, the desire to live the life God wants you to live. You may fail, and we all fail at times, and yet that desire is in you to please Him. If it's not in you, you're probably not born again, or you're really squashing that. So I want to take that as read, that it's obviously an attack, a strategy, a weapon of the enemy to pull us away from God's will and get us doing things that God doesn't want us to do. Yes, amen, agreed. So let me move on from that. I actually think where most Christians fail in this area is less about falling into terrible sin. It's more about time wasting. It's more about getting dragged into things that God never called them to do. One of the most dangerous traps or temptations for a Christian, let me say this for a minister, it's even worse, is to do good things, to do useful things, to do important things that God never called you to do. One of the keys to knowing what God has called you to do is knowing who God has called you to be. One of the keys for knowing what God has called you to do is also knowing what God has not called you to be, and also knowing what He's not called you to do. And there are certain things that if we can eliminate what we are not called to do, that's actually really empowering. And I think Satan will fill our lives 24 hours a day, 8 days a week, as the Beatles sang, with basically good time-wasting things. I have to fight as a minister, particularly as a pastor, to keep the main thing, I have to fight for the things God actually calls me to do and not the things, you know, I don't want to say fight people. You know, at times you fight the temptation to please everybody or the temptation to get involved. We should do this and that. And you can program yourself to death. You can meeting yourself to death. And what does God actually want us to do? Earlier on in the book of Acts, and again, we won't go there for the sake of time, but we see the apostles whom Jesus chose. He chose the 12, obviously Judas steps out of there. I would say Paul was a replacement, but whatever, Matthias, if you will. We see them beginning to leave the ministry of prayer and the preaching of the word so that they can serve at food distribution and serve widows and orphans, and they're managing all of this collection. People give all, people, it's funny, we read those passages that said they shared all things in common. Wonderful. And suddenly the 12 apostles became like food bank directors. You say, Graham, what's wrong with being a food bank director? Absolutely nothing, assuming God's called you to be a food bank director. But He didn't call those. And in a way, they begin to neglect the Word of God, to neglect prayer, the presence of God, to do something God never really called them to do. And the right response, rightly, was let's appoint other people to do this task. Let's put other people, including Stephen, who ended up having an amazing breakthrough ministry, Philip, others, to do those things. So my point is, knowing what you are called to do is really powerful. And lastly, let me say this as an introductory comment as well. I find many Christians spend the whole of their lives seeking for the will of God, trying to find the will of God. What is God's will for my life? You can't fulfill the will of God for your life if you don't know the will of God for your life. You can't step into that will of God for your life until it's actually something that is clear to you. So I say this lovingly, but I don't want to spend my life searching for the will of God. I want to spend my life doing the will of God. I want to begin today with two scriptures. One is well known, the other not so. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." I love that verse. One more verse as well. Jeremiah 10:23 says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Really powerful verse there. Let me begin today with Romans. Paul's writing here to a young fledgling church in Rome, and he says, "Do not be conformed to the world." Paul uses two words that, at least in English, have the word form in them. Conform, transform. Paul's saying is, you're going to be formed. You can be conformed or you can be transformed. And Paul's saying that to fulfill the will of God for your life, don't allow the world around you, and that could even include the Christian world around you, your family, good people, the media, the government, school, education, don't allow the world around you to conform you to its image. Rather, you be transformed. Paul writes, again, we won't go there for the sake of time, but in Romans 8, everybody knows Romans 8:28, and hardly anybody knows Romans 8:29 and 30. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose." That's what we're talking about, being called according to his purpose. And then Paul carries on and says, "Whom God foreknew, did he choose, ordain, or call, that they may be conformed to the image," conformed to the image of his son, or transformed to the image of his son, if you will. Paul is saying, don't be conformed to the world, be transformed into the image of Jesus. Now, the great news is, in the spirit, you've already been transformed into the image of Jesus. Your spirit looks just like Jesus. You have the nature of Jesus in your spirit. You have the righteousness of Jesus in your spirit. You have no problems whatsoever, at a spiritual level. But what we have in the spirit, God wants to bring into the soulish realm. And then what he actually desires is that what's happened, that transformation in our soul, begins to change, shape, and conform everything around us. The bottom line is simply this: either the world will conform you, or you will conform the world. I want the world to bow the knee to the Word of God. I want the world around me to look like heaven. I want the world around me to look like Jesus. And we are here to change and shape and mold, if you will, the world around us into the very image of God. And I'm kind of going to draw this to a close here, just in my introductory comments to this. What is God's will for your life? So often, I think we have a tendency to think of God's will in terms of a location, an occupation, maybe a set of relationships. God's will is that you go to Africa or China or America. God's will is that you do this. You're a pastor, you're a mechanic, you're an inventor, you work in tech, whatever. God's will is you marry this person, you marry that person. None of those things are God's will. Let me say that again. None of those things are God's will. God's will is not that I would be a pastor. I mean, I'm functioning, part of what I do, I function in that place right now, but that's not who I am. I am not a pastor. I'm a child of God. I'm the bride of Christ. He's the vine, I'm the branch. I've been united with him. That's God's call for my life. And God's call for your life isn't that you go somewhere, that you do something, that you practice this, practice that, that you hang out with this group of people or that. God's will is in Christ Jesus. God's will is not conformed to the world, conformed, transformed to the image of his Son. And that when you are transformed to the image of his Son by the renewing of your mind, you will prove, you will experiment. You know, prove is it's actually a technical word. We speak about it in terms of a law court, like proof. Not hearsay, not speculation, not innuendo, not suggestion, proof. It's also a word that would be used in science. In a slightly different way that some of us may not be used to in our regular life. Like people would speak about proving a theory. Not proving like, but actually like doing the work, working it out, living it out. Taking that idea and making it, like literally taking a recipe and then baking the cake and putting the cake down and eating it. You proved it. You prove a theorem. I don't mean you prove it's true. I mean you actually work it through. And God wants us to be not conformed to the world, transformed by the renewing of our mind. We'll get there in tomorrow's lesson. And then he wants your life to be a demonstration, a proof, a testimony, a witness of the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. I'll finish with this, but how do we move from good to perfect? How do we move from perfect to acceptable? Who determines to what degree we walk in the perfect will of God, or the, you know, acceptable will of God, if you will, or the just will of God, which is good? You do, by the measure to which you renew your mind. If you renew your mind completely, you live in the perfect will of God. You renew your mind partially, you know, the acceptable, or then the good, or the not at all. So it's not about what God chooses for us. He's already chosen. He's already given his invitation. It's how much we respond to that invitation. Jesus, I was going to say hovered. He sat over Jerusalem. I was in Jerusalem not too long ago. Jerusalem is, come on, built like a, you know, you rise up, you ascend to Jerusalem in a way. You can sit above it on these hills. And Jesus looked over Jerusalem and said, how often I wanted to, but you were not willing. How often I willed, but you were not willing. So God's expressed his will for us in Christ Jesus. Are we willing? Selah. Boom. Guys, I'm going to come back tomorrow and continue this teaching because I believe it's really important, valid, and life-changing. So yeah, thanks for watching. Again, check out some of the links below. Hit subscribe on YouTube, and I encourage you to sign up for our email newsletter. I'd love to keep in touch with you wherever you are at in the world. God bless you.